Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. Glad to have you with us. We're live every Thursday. Our podcasts are up and running, and of course, you can check out the show on demand or on The Morning Call website. We have a lot of high school basketball to talk about with two extremely knowledgeable guests, so all of your high school basketball questions should be answered over the next 60 minutes as we break down the final week of the regular season, look ahead to the playoffs, and also look at what has been a very entertaining high school basketball season. So our in-studio guests on tonight's program from LVBasketballRankings.com, Mr. Tume Anderson, and senior sports writer at The Morning Call and co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Edward Groler.
Did you miss me last week?
Oh, yeah, I was disappointed. For the first time, I've known you for over 20 years. I've never heard you talk about wrestling. Field hockey, softball, everything else. Racing, school plays.
I defer to the experts. That's why I'm going to be doing a lot of deferring to this man tonight.
Well, I got to ask you something here, because you are the king of all media around here. You fully acknowledge that.
I don't acknowledge
you
anything.
You admit it. You are. But you got to give him a Mr. Hustle Award, because Tume, I think I saw you at a Becca Allen girls game, Northampton County. And then later that night, you were tweeting out about another game in another county, Lehigh County, that same night. That's even good for you. You don't get to two different counties in one night, do you?
I have in the past, but Tume is a hustler. He's a great man, and I've gotten to know him well over the last 15, I don't know, long time. And he is a terrific young man and does a great job for LVBR, Lehigh Valley Basketball Rankings. So I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, you know, well, the slogan is always watching. You can't be always watching if you're just sitting around. We've got to be around, so we try to get out to as much as we can. And we have a nation out there, Keith and Chris. We have a nation, always watching nation, that's always helping us watching games. You even know it, Keith. You're a part of the always watching nation. You let the people know what's going on. So, you know, everyone out there who's, you know, watching basketball and doing things in the basketball world, you're all part of the always watching nation. And, you know, we appreciate what everyone's doing for the basketball community.
Well, and by the way, Tume and Keith are both going to not only predict and say exactly what's going to happen for the EPC and the Colonial League playoffs, you're going to break down who's in, who's out, and guarantee what's going to happen over the next week. So that'll be coming up in just a little bit.
I can't even guarantee I'm going to beat you in the contest, our little Groler-Michael prediction contest.
Well,
you were ahead of me, and I stayed away from you for a week, and I actually had a decent week. Thank goodness. I hate to say this to the Parkland fans, but thank goodness for Linden, New Jersey. I mean, they came up with a big win for me the other day.
I stuck with the Trojans, by the way. You have to, you know, give me props for that.
Hey, man,
I stuck with Parkland.
You can never go wrong when you're going red. No, you never go wrong going red. We all know this.
All right. Let's go through the league. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Allen. We had Allen on the program, so I don't want to spend a lot of time. They're just flat out really good. And I've seen them with different matchups, different teams have tried to do different things. There's just no slowing them down. Do you see anyone in the Lehigh Valley upending the Canaries at this point?
Well, you know, I mean, Allen is obviously playing very well, and they're doing extraordinary things out there on the court. But, you know, there are other teams out there that are playing very well as well. And, you know, on any given night in the high school scene, you can be taken down. But Allen is obviously playing at a high level. But I like how Emmaus is playing. I like how Parkland is playing. You know, so we'll see how things shake out here the next 2 weeks.
For some reason, I have great admiration for Doug Snyder. I think they've done a wonderful thing for the whole city of Allentown. We told them that when they were here a couple weeks ago. They've got a lot of people excited every time we put a story about them. Even when we put the rankings, the state rankings on there, we get a lot of hits, a lot of excitement. I just have a feeling that when you least expect it, they're going to lose. They've been living on the edge. One of my favorite songs.
John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, my man.
Come on, man. Versatility right here, man.
Dead or Alive and Living on a Prayer. I mean, you've lived on a prayer a few times in your career. But going through the Bon Jovi hit list. Uh-huh. But I just have a feeling, and I hope for them it doesn't happen, but I just have a feeling that somebody's going to knock them off. I don't even think they're going to get through the regular season unscathed. They still have two big tests remaining. Mm-hmm. They have Bethlehem Catholic, and they have Parkland on Monday night, and which is probably the most anticipated game of the regular season, at least certainly after that Allen Emmaus game during the Christmas holiday season.
Yeah. And Parkland's a team that has been playing well. I think you touched on it a couple weeks before that watch out, sooner or later they're going to get on track. I know they're not the team they were last year, but are they getting close to being a top two or three team in the district?
Well, yeah, I think actually right now they probably are in that range, but they are definitely a different team, new players, having to step in. And the thing is, they had so much experience. Those guys have been playing together for such a long time, even the JV ranks with Ed Olson, the JV ranks. But this team here, they're not as experienced, but they're playing well together. And you know what? They still have Sam Iorio in the paint and stepping outside, doing all the things he does. So, you know, they're always going to be solid with Sam in the lineup. And those other guys are filling the roles very well.
They took a while. It took a long time for them to figure things out. And they went through that tough losing streak right before the holidays when they lost to, I think, Emmaus, Whitehall, and then Liberty coming after Christmas.
2-5, I think.
Were 2-5 at that point. They went on a long winning streak. And I was kidding about that Linden game. I mean, they battled Linden tough. That was a tough matchup for them at the Hoop Group. But they're playing extremely well. And Sam Iorio has just raised his game, I believe, to another level. But the key is Zeke, I think, at the point. Bartholomew's emerged as a premier three-point shooter. Right. And these guys know their roles now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is, they don't really even have a set point guard. You know, they just have a bunch of people.
Zeke never played the position before, but he plugged them in there. He's doing a serviceable job.
Yep.
And if the other guys do, the key with them is depth, and they can't get in foul trouble. I don't think they're as deep as they were last year.
Right.
I think foul trouble could be a problem for them in some big games. But right now, they're playing as well as anybody. I mean, they haven't lost anybody in the Lehigh Valley for a while. They're the only loss since 2017 began was to Linden, New Jersey.
I have to interrupt you here. I've been handed a very important bulletin, breaking news here. Living on a Prayer was first produced by Aerosmith.
Aerosmith. So, I knew it right away. Aerosmith.
Okay. And Ryan and Disney at the movie thing. Okay. Whitehall was another team I wanted to talk about. I've seen them 5 times. They've had a different starting lineup every time. I mean, aside from Logan McGinley, they've kind of rotated 4 other players. They're playing that up-tempo style, which I've seen a lot of Whitehall games over the years. Mm. I still have a hard time getting used to, but largely successful doing it. If any issue, they've had an issue on defense. Central Catholic, and you were at the game, Keith, they did a number on Whitehall and slowed them down. Do you remember a team having as much fluidity in their starting lineup and still having success? And do you think they can have success with the lineup they have out there?
Whitehall.
Yeah.
It just baffles me because of the Whitehall tradition, and you know Whitehall tradition. Right. This team needs to run. If they can't get the boards and they can't get out on the break, they're in trouble. Yeah. And Jeff Jones admitted to me after the game, we do struggle in the half-court offense. So if you can hold your own on the boards and get back defensively and force them into a half-court game, they love to move that ball around. Logan McGinley, Mikey Eskelin, Charles Hudson, all those guys, they move the ball very well. In a half court, I don't know if they have that consistent outside shooter that can break a good zone.
They do have a lot of versatility out there and a lot of movable parts. I really like what's going on with Mr. Gilbert in the paint. He's giving him a good presence. He's knocking the 15-footers, playing well around the basket.
7-for-7 from the field the other night.
There he is, you know what I mean? So, you have Mikey out there making a lot of plays for guys out there. So, Whitehall is a dangerous team. They can beat anybody. But as you saw on the other night, they can also, take a step back. So, they're an interesting team, interesting ball club.
Another APC team I wanted to ask you about was Liberty. I'm always used to Chad Landis doing a great job of improving, and they always seem to hit their stride right when you get to the league playoffs, regardless of how bad they were in the regular season, early in the year, whatever kind of personnel issues, he always gets through that. Do you see that happening this year? Because it seems like every time they start to go up, they go back down again.
Yeah, it's a lot of inconsistencies going on over there. And you're right, man. Every time I think about Chad Landis and the Hurricane program, it's improving as the season goes on. But they're hitting a little road right now. They're up and down. Jeremy Johnson is really playing out of his mind, Keith, man, isn't he, man?
On nights, he's spectacular.
Man,
he's the best player in the area on certain nights.
Oh, man, brings so much energy to the table, and he makes a lot of plays out there. But they're going to need the other pieces to step up. Hoffman's doing a good job, but pieces like Griffin and Serrano need to be a little bit more consistent out there for the Hurricanes to make the step in leagues and districts.
Well, I did a column. I always do my Friday morning column before I come over here, and I do like a who's hot, a who's not, and I added a new column, who's hard to figure. I put the whole city of Bethlehem in that who's hard to figure category. I can't figure out the Golden Hawks. Well, they lose games, too, that maybe scratch your head a little bit, like losing to the Central Catholic the
Central
other night.
Central played well that night. I was there. They played well.
And Central was a team of
desperation. Central did the same thing they did against Whitehall. They played very solid defense. And if anything, Central struggled down the stretch shooting from the free throw line and from the floor. But defensively, they had very impressive showings against Becca.
I know Stroudsburg's capable too, but they lost to Stroudsburg the other night. So I think if Becca really wants to, I mean, look, they're going to benefit by the fact they're in 4A. And they're not going to have to face all those great 6A teams and even some of the great 5A teams like Whitehall, like Bangor, like Southern Lehigh in that bracket. So they're going to benefit, and I think they're the clear-cut favorite to win 4A. But are they – am I sold on the Golden Hawks? No, I'm not.
Yeah. Speaking of the Golden Hawks, I have this question. Ryan Young, I know he had a bit of an injury, but I've seen him a couple times, and I'm thinking, why don't they put him in the game? Now, Ray Barbosa is a great coach. Doug Snyder said he's his best former player that is now a coach. So I'm not going to, you know, second guess at all.
Okay.
But how do you see Becca? Because they have great guard play. Justin Paz, who you told me about before the year, I want to give Tume credit here. He signaled him out as one of the top three players to watch in the EPC. But they have a 6'9 guy who can block shots. I don't see why he's not out on the floor more. What am I missing?
Well, I mean, I think he's on the floor unless he's injured.
Yeah,
you know,
I know he's injured.
And I was there the day he went down against Lincoln, and I thought it was a pretty bad ankle injury. And maybe he's still. I haven't seen him since then. Is he up to par?
I saw him last night play Strasburg. He's getting there. You know, because right now his conditioning is not where it once was. But you have to understand. 17-year-old, 16-year-old kids, 6'9", 6'8", foot injuries, ankle injuries. Got to be very careful with that. I think Ray is just, looking out for his future and, mm-hmm. Monitoring his minutes, monitoring his games and so forth at this point. But Becca is, Ryan Young is a force. He's the best big man out here in the Lehigh Valley. Great hands, great touch, Keith. And I really love his shooting touch, man. He has a great touch out there.
Even better than Sabo? Because I haven't seen
Sable.
Sable. I haven't seen him.
At this point, the LVBR top 100 rankings will be coming out soon. You guys will be able to determine exactly who's where. But right now, Ryan Young is the top player, big man in the league.
And here's the thing, and I don't want to offend anybody, but when you have guys coming, you love to see a team that's been together for a while. Mm-hmm. That was the hallmark of Parkin's success. That was the hallmark of Emmaus's success in past years in this current group. Beckett's got a guy from here, a guy from here, and a guy from there. And it's tough sometimes to fit it all together. I mean, Paz has been there and Ryan Young has been there, but Odell comes from Palisades. Right. Who else am I thinking of?
Nelson comes from Dereff.
There was another kid that came from Jersey, Gardner.
Pettiford.
So, I mean, they have some great talented pieces, but we see this at all levels. Sometimes it's hard to come together. Now, by now, they should be coming together, and I think they're going to be a tough team to beat once they certainly get into District 11 competition. But do I think they're going to win the EPC? I'd be shocked.
Really? And remember, for districts, they're a 4A team, so they don't have to battle any of the other EPC teams. Central, Whitehall, they're 5A, and then everyone else is 6A.
Yeah,
looking at the latest EPC standings, and again, it's tough because a lot of the northern teams and teams that have games against the north have had some postponements. So you have some teams with 13 league games, others have 10. But looking at the divisions, Allen, Becca, and Liberty are the top teams in the Steel Division. Emmaus, Whitehall, Parkland, Central are top in the Skylines. And then in the north, you have Pocono Mountain West, East Stroudsburg North, and Stroudsburg sitting at 500 or above. So which of those teams are in, which still have a shot, and which way do you think the wind will blow as far as those final spots?
Well, the teams that are definitely in are, Allen's already clinched a spot. I believe Emmaus and Whitehall have clinched spots, and if not, they're very, very close to. I believe the Pocono West is also either in or on the verge of being in. Who am I missing here?
Parkland. East Stroudsburg North.
Beck is going to be in. I think the teams that are on the bubble are sort of like Liberty and Easton. I think that they could be fighting for the last spot. I don't have the standings in front of me, but when I looked in Stroudsburg,
you're right. Easton's tied with Liberty right now.
Stroudsburg's also looking like they're on the bubble. They could get in as well.
Stroudsburg, obviously they're playing in the North Division, and they don't play West anymore. They have the games against South and Pleasant Valley and all those other teams. So I would expect Stroudsburg to rack up a couple more victories and be in that mix for the EPC playoffs.
So how do you see the playoffs shaping up then? If you had to go with six teams, who would you lean towards right now besides the ones that are in? Allen, Becca, Emmaus, Whitehall, Pocono Mountain, definitely in. Who gets the remaining spots, and how do you see the first round?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to put Stroudsburg in that mix, and I don't know how many teams I get, maybe like six or seven now. I think Liberty's going to get it together and they'll be in that mix. But, when it all shakes down, obviously matchups, seedings, all that stuff makes a big difference in the thing. But, it's going to be difficult, man. Liberty is such a dangerous team, Keith. They're up and down. I think they could beat anybody on any night. So, I'm going to give them a little benefit of doubt down the stretch. But Pocono Mountain West, Keith,
I like them. I mean,
four scholarship players out there. Mm-hmm.
Going to have three 1,000-point scores.
Three 1,000-point scores. You know what? I'm gonna give them.
I thought that last year, though. I thought they were a team that was gonna come by and challenge Parkland. They never even got to the championship.
Nah, they fell a little short. They beat Parkland. If I remember clearly during the regular season, yeah. but their reign got cut short in the playoff run.
All right, we're going to take a look at our big school poll. Both Keith and Tume, we're proud to have them a part of it this year. And these guys can sound off. No question about the number one. Kind of have been actually boring in terms of our number ones, both big school and small school, all season long. But this week, we had some diversity between our pollsters here. Emmaus, Whitehall, Bangor, Parkland, and Pocono Mountain West all got votes for different spots in our poll and how it shook out in terms of final numbers. Emmaus 2, Whitehall 3, Parkland 4, Bangor 5, Pocono Mountain West on the outside looking in. But guys, your thoughts on that 1-5 list?
Well, I have West in the top five, and I have Parkland just outside in the sixth spot. Now, that's taking the whole season into account, and right. The fact that Parkland did struggle early, and they were 2-5, and they lost to all those people. They lost to Emmaus and Whitehall and Becca and a couple I'm even missing there. Right now, Parkland's got to be in there. I mean, Parkland is, that's the team. And people are so sick of Parkland. I understand that. When you win as much as they have won, somebody's looking for a new champion. And people are looking for a new champion. But I like new teams, but I also like to see excellence continued. Mm-hmm. And they have found a way to keep it going. I think they're, again, going into this tournament, nobody's going to want to play them. Because a big factor, and he could speak to this, right. When you know how to win, that trickles down. And even though those guys are used to winning, yes. They're used to playing their best basketball in February and in March.
Yes, indeed. And they've been around a program. They know about all the gold medals. Every time, district playoff comes around, they're putting that gold around. They've been around all that. So, like you said, Keith, they're used to that. And their coaches are used to winning. The program's used to winning. Community's used to winning. So, we'll see how it shakes out, man. It's going to be interesting down the stretch. But Emmaus, Whitehall, Parkland, they can all beat each other. They can all beat each other. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out.
And I think it's interesting, though, some of those younger Parkland players, they saw the medals. Yeah. They don't want to be known as the team that broke the skid after Parkland had so many great years in a row.
Right. They all had to start somewhere, though, Chris.
Yeah. Start with you, right?
I didn't say it. You said it. I didn't say it.
Our special in-studio guest, Tume Anderson of LV Basketball Rankings, joining Keith and myself. We're going to talk more Colonial League in the next segment. We also have an interesting story about Reading. You might have seen this in various reports. Get Keith and Tume's thoughts on that and look at our small school poll and then look ahead to the next week of the basketball season. But right now, it's time to roll out our trivia question and give you a chance to win tonight's prize. It is high school basketball related. Might throw a couple of people for a curve here, so we'll see how you do with this one. Of the 8 boys basketball teams that have won District 11 4A gold medals since 1985, only 4 have just won it on one occasion. There have been 8 multiple winners, but 4 have only won one District 11 4A boys basketball title. We're asking you to name all 4 correctly to win tonight's prize. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We got breaking news here. I'm handed another bulletin here. Living on the Edge was done by Aerosmith. Living on a Prayer was done by Bon Jovi. So I'm glad our entire production staff was getting together with different answers.
Did I get that correctly? I think I did have Living on a Prayer being a Bon Jovi song.
I think we got an Emmaus guy's giving me these bulletins here, and he's screwing up right and left here. Yeah. Our special in-studio guest, Tume Anderson from LVBasketballRankings.com, senior sports writer, co-host of the program, and king of all media, as he acknowledged during our first segment, is Keith Grohler. Before we continue with Colonial League, are you gonna? You're not gonna tell me the story you were telling me during the break. Right?
I can't.
You wrote a great story, by the way.
There's a bad word in my story, and then in that story, I can't.
We're cable. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, cable. This is not Showtime or. One of the fine products offered here by RCN.
You were spot on in that article, which you're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. I'm not going to steal your thunder, though. By the way, if you missed this story, and thanks to Walt Tindall for bringing this to my attention, Reading, we saw them the last couple of years. Lonnie Walker is an awesome player, one of the best players in the nation. But they have not only been winning by a lot. Recently, they won over Daniel Boone by 92 points. And supposedly, even at halftime, the game's outcome was at 50. And they still kept the starters out there. Lonnie Walker continued to play. They kept pressing, so forth. And obviously, Daniel Boone people and some other coaches and referees were not happy about this. And Mike Drago, out of another newspaper, wrote a column calling out Rick Perez, who responded by saying, "There was nothing in our hearts, nothing in our huddle that said, let's run up the score and demoralize this team. It's all about us enjoying the moment." So the Reading people are on board. They say, well, you know, we just have a great team. We're going out. You can't stop the kids from scoring buckets. The surrounding Reading community is not happy about this. But, you know, we've seen it, too. You have really good programs, really good teams, yeah. And the issue of running up the score comes in. What are your thoughts on this?
Go ahead. Let Tim talk first.
Well, hey, you know, first and foremost, I'm a competitor and an athlete. When you step up, you lace up the shoes. You're expected to go out there and do the best you can and compete every minute you can. So, I personally don't really believe in running up a score. I think there's got to have some dignity and some class in it, though. Your guys on the bench, they deserve to play as well, and they don't have to go out there and just hold the ball and stall the ball. They deserve to play basketball as well. So I think as long as, you know, you're bringing your subs in and you're using the end of your bench and they're allowed to play basketball, I'm fine with it. But, you know, if you're using your starters while you're up 50 points and so forth, I think that's pushing it a little bit. But, you know, you got to go out there and compete. And, You don't want a kid to, you know, to run up the score. Coach your team to stop them. You know what I mean? So you got to do a better job with that, and that's just, you know, that's an athlete's take on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keith?
Well, yeah, you mentioned Mike Drago, who I have a tremendous respect for. He is the Reading Eagles guy and loves high school sports, and so if he's on board with it, I don't know the particulars. Yeah. To me, if you know you're going to be that much better than a certain team, then you have to go to the subs, and you got to go to the subs early. Earlier. Lonnie Walker is one of the most
McDonald's All-American.
He's a McDonald's All-American. He's one of the best players in this nation. Just, you know, I know it's a one in a million shot, but supposing he goes up for a rebound and comes down the wrong way and tears up his knee, it could happen. That's why this. I'm going off topic here, but that's why I don't get the Sixer fans wanting Embiid to play in this All-Star game so badly when he is the anchor of their future, it looks like, at least until Ben Simmons gets on the floor. And so why would you want him to play in a stupid All-Star game when he's really the cornerstone of your franchise? Well, supposing he gets hurt, and we know he's already fragile anyway.
And it might be worse because he might play in the Futures game, not even the main game, the little kids game, the Futures game.
But I think there's ways that we can hold things under control. I understand the competitive part of it. I take it was a league game, so they have to play, I believe. Yeah. What I don't like is some of these matchups that the ADs create. We had one earlier this year. Moravian Academy just pounded, I believe, I can't remember what the score, but it was a lot to very little.
Yeah.
Moravian Academy over, I think, Salem Christian or Lehigh Valley Christian. Those matchups should not happen.
Yeah.
Moravian Academy is now at a point where they're a pretty good program. Steve Gabrilic's done a good job. They have a kid named Holmquist who is very good.
Top
they're no longer in the mix with those Christian schools anymore. They should be playing Salem or Lehigh Valley Christian. So sometimes I put it on the AD. Why are you scheduling these games? Because you can't ask people not to go out and play and compete, as Tume said.
Right.
But there's ways of holding the score down. Evidently, Reading did not do a good enough job that particular night.
Yeah. It's a little ironic, too, because I noticed a couple weeks ago there were some girls' teams in which they were winning by 45, 50, 55 points. I was going to bring it up. I thought, all right, maybe not. But then when this came up, send it up to you two experts here. All right, before we continue, Tom from Nazareth has a question for us. Tom, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Make sure you turn your volume down, so otherwise you'll have a delay.
Hey, good evening. Along the same lines of running up the score, how do you feel about, say, like a program like Nazareth? Obviously, they're struggling this year, very few wins. But
they've been mercy ruled a couple times, I think.
Yeah, but they got a senior who's close to or looking to reach the 1,000-point mark. So he's playing a lot of games, the full game. At the end of the game, the other teams are bringing in their second, third-team players, yet he's continually in there shooting the ball to, you know, to get the record. How do you feel about, like, an individual honor almost going above, like, team development for the future?
That's very – because we've seen that happen a few times. People get close to historic parts, and the coach will continue to leave them in blowout games.
Hey, Tom, I think that's a really good question, a legit question. And you have to look at it in different angles, though, too, though, Chris. You know what I mean? This is Kevin Wagner. He's been there since his ninth grade year. Pour everything into this program. He's out there just playing basketball as well. He deserves an opportunity to go out there and drop buckets and get points as well. But, I understand your point, though. You know, you have to, you know, start working down the future, getting the younger guys in the mix and starting to get them out some playing time opportunities as well.
And tell me if I'm wrong, too, because he's a guard. He's a ball handler.
Right.
And a lot of times coaches will like to have at least one experienced player out
right.
on the court
right.
to kind of help the younger players out. And I think that might be the situation.
Yeah,
too.
You know, and you don't want the score. The score is at 40 already. You don't want to get into a Redding situation where it's at, you know, at somewhere,
92.
You know, yeah, somewhere out of this world. So, you know, I'm not gonna knock the kid. You know, he's gonna go out there and he's trying to compete. He's trying to play hard. So, I'm not gonna knock the kid for going out there and scoring points.
And I'm not gonna knock Joe Arndt, who I have great respect for. So
right.
I don't know the particulars. I had not seen them play this year. I think, you know, if you do want to get more people into the game if possible, build
right.
for the future.
Right.
But as long as the game's competitive, then Wagner deserves to be out there.
If the game is competitive, he deserves to be out there. If the game is out of reach, and, you know, he's still in the game, like I said, you know, they're working on things they need. They don't have, obviously, if they're losing by a lot of points, mm-hmm. they don't have as much experience or as much talented players out there. So the coach is maybe just keeping maybe him and surrounding him with some younger guys in the game to keep the game close. But, he deserves to go out there and give everything he has, regardless of the score.
All right, Tom, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Talk tonight.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Take care. Yep.
All right, we appreciate it, Tom. I want to get to the Colonial League. Bangor was a team that I was touting and speaking about in November and December. And people say, it's Colonial League. It's this, it's as it. Well, I think they've proven to be a legitimate 5A contender along with Whitehall and Central Catholic this year. But as far as the league standings for the Colonial League, we have Southern Lehigh, Salisbury, the top teams in the one division, Bangor, Notre Dame, Saucon Valley in the other division. How's the Colonial League playoffs is a little bit different, but
there's six teams instead
of eight. This year.
So who's
going to get that
fight,
sixth spot?
The fight right now, and there's a game going on as we speak, literally as we speak, not too far away over at Catasauqua, where Moravian Academy and Caddy are both 8-8. The winner that, if Moravian wins, they pretty much clinch that spot. If Caddy wins, there's one more piece they need. They need to either beat Northwestern or have Moravian Academy lose to Southern Lehigh on Saturday, and that's where your sixth spot's going to come from. I talked to Eric Snyder. Isaiah Graves is my player of the week, so I had to speak with Eric, and
he
filled me in on all that stuff. But look, let's face it. The Colonial League tournament this year should be called the Bangor Invitational. The Slaters are clearly. Now, I know it's basketball, and it's not a best of three, or it's not a best of five, it's not a best of seven. Anything could happen. We saw, you know, Villanova beat Georgetown back in 1985.
Right.
At least I did. You were a youngster.
Oh, yeah.
You were a youngster.
I was out there.
And there's been upsets in this sport. That's the beauty of March Madness. But clearly, Bangor is the premier team in that league. There's a big gap between them and Notre Dame, big gap between them and Southern Lehigh. Well, I'd say a decent gap between them against Southern Lehigh. Southern Lehigh is the only one in the ballpark,
in my opinion.
They're
in the ballpark, Keith. We were there when
Bangor. They're playing better.
We were there when Bangor played Southern Lehigh.
Yes.
And if you remember that game.
It was a good game.
It was a good game.
I still think Bangor's the best.
It got closer towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Lehigh.
It's a home game for Southern Lehigh.
It was a home game. Yep. Southern Lehigh, I think Coach Tannis made a good adjustment there. He picked up the pressure, and the game got a lot closer.
Well, that's,
Bangor's obviously the clear-cut favorite.
I think they are.
But I'm not, Southern Lehigh, I think I'm not ready to close to shut the door on them yet.
I give them a puncher's chance. But Bangor has and you're right, the one Achilles heel that they do have is that Michael Martino graduated, and their ball handling, a little concerned about that.
Right.
But I just think Bangor has got it all. And now Ben Holland has emerged as a premier three-point shooter, which gives them another dimension.
He can really shoot.
But pressure, and we saw that against even Freedom. I think you were over there that night.
Right.
And Freedom took him down to the wire, and Banger needed to really go pull out all stops to win that game. Right. So, but I still think Banger's the best team.
I want to bring out, too, continue on Banger, the emergence of Tony Jones. He's coming to the program.
And he's strengthened them.
He was not, you know, the first half of the season, Coach Holland, you know, had him sit him down over here, young fella. You know, you're going to have to learn how we do this over here. But now he's starting to play.
He needs to get his academics together.
He had to get some things in order, and Coach Holland's not playing that.
Right.
You know, so now he's got his things in order. He's starting to contribute, and he's making a big difference. He takes them to another level athletically, and, you know, he gives them a dimension that the Colonial League doesn't really see often. Banger doesn't see often. He's above the rim, high fly, plays in transition. So it's going to be interesting. So when teams try to pressure Banger now, they have Tony Jones in transition. We'll see how that,
There's the difference of a team that knows how to win. They've won three of the last four, talking about Banger in terms of league.
Right.
They all went all the way to the District 11 final last year and then came back and won a state game.
Yeah.
They had that pedigree.
Indeed.
Southern
Indeed.
Lehigh is one of those that I hate. Ben Tanis and I are on the same pages.
Right.
They're the yeah, but. They're like sort of like the Freedom in the EPC.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Lehigh, we have a good regular season, but can we win, you know, in the postseason? A big championship game. I'm waiting to see them break
through. That Southern Lehigh team has been together for a long time.
A lot of talent. Hudson and company.
Hudson, Daugherty, Zamangeli, Patel.
Yeah.
They've been together for a long time. And I remember them when we were freshmen, they're winning the freshman tournaments. They're ready. They're ready for this. They've been ready, waiting for this moment. I think they're ready.
Yeah, we'll see. But they're clearly, if you're not going to give me Banger as the clear-cut favorite, we got to say it'll be a shock if it's not Banger and Southern Lehigh in that final.
We can agree on that, Mr.
Amen.
Yeah, we can agree on
Amen.
That.
All right. Yeah, you came in about the same times too.
We actually came to be carpooled together.
Who is in the front seat? Let's try to get an email or two before we have the break here. Carl from Bethlehem wants to know, besides Banger, who's the next best team in the Colonial League and who has a shot come district playoff time? Banger, by the way, is in 5A along with Southern Lehigh. Then most of the Colonial League teams are either 3A or 4A.
Well, we just answered that question by saying Southern Lehigh.
Southern Lehigh.
See, you know, Salisbury has had some good wins. They beat Pottsville.
Yeah,
but I can't figure. They're like the Bethlehem schools. I can't figure them out. Can't get the grasp
on
the
Falcons. They lost to Caddy the other day. You know, and Saucon Valley is also too a dangerous team. Cam Allen is an unbelievable guard out there.
But they lost 25 to Southern Lehigh.
It might have been more. It might have been more. Yeah. And then they got destroyed by Southern Lehigh.
Maybe 35.
It was 35. Yeah. They might have got destroyed by Southern Lehigh last night. So. It's hard to figure it out, but you know, those are some dangerous teams out there to answer the email's question.
Could Notre Dame be the team that goes the furthest besides Banger? Because they're in 3A.
Well,
and the only other teams there are Caddy and Northern Lehigh, they might be the favorites.
I hear, and Eric Snyder told me this too, was it Valley Forge?
Valley Forge is in first, yeah.
They're clearly going to win.
Where is that, by the way?
That sub-regional. Down Valley Forge.
Valley Forge, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where
if I'm going there, you're going to have to give me directions.
It's
going to
be like the old football concept where we have a sub-regional where teams from another district come in there, and he says, man, we don't want to play that.
We better not have
a
game at New Hope Solbury, because I was in that gym, and it's like an elementary school.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
If people, it's like three rows of bleachers.
Did you stop by Peddler's Village before? I like Peddler's Village.
No,
I
was actually there to interview Evan Turner, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Well, you're a big shot. Okay.
No, I'm not.
Valley Forge, though, Keith.
I am a mild sports reporter of little brain, and I need your help to figure out all these league standings. All right, when we come back, we'll try to get some more emails. We'll touch a little bit more on district standings. We have a roundtable coming up. And we also have the trivia question out there. It is a tough one. We're challenging the basketball experts of the Lehigh Valley. Of the eight boys basketball teams that have won District 11 4A titles since 1985, you know, Errol Smith did Living on the Edge. four teams have won it just once. We want you to correctly identify the four schools that have won just one District 11 4A title since 1985. And, of course, now you have 5A and 6A and all that other stuff. All right, it's Keith's favorite part of the program. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where he gets to sound off on a hot sports topic or two or three. Keith, you have a good one, though.
Well, I want to get to that good one, but I want to get some other things out there really quickly. I want to congratulate Sue Woodstaven. She is the National Field Hockey Coach of the Year. A second time she won that award, and we've said this before in this show. Besides all those state championships, besides that unbelievable run of District 11 championships, her real value comes in the dollars that she's gotten for her kids. I would put it at about $5 or $6 million she's earned for her female athletes there who have earned college scholarships. So congratulations to her. On a sad note, Skip Kintz. I was a young man when he played at Deriff High School, very young, but I remember vaguely going to Harrisburg's Farm Show Arena for some exciting Dare of playoff games as a young tot, and Skip Kintz was the man. He was the first truly great, great, great Dare of player. My old tennis coach, Tommy Young, would beg to differ on that, but Skip Kintz was phenomenal. He passed away last week at the age of 69, I believe. So we Skip and great memories with all those Huskies there. But the real Gruller's grumbling this week, we got to go back to Easton and the travesty and the way the ending of the great career of Steve Shiffert was handled. Whether it was time for him to go, whether it was, I don't believe it was. It was just handled very, very poorly. And I just want to say to those people who kind of pushed Steve out the door, and I'm not really talking about administration. I'm talking about this constant bickering and, you know, just negativity. Be careful what you wish for, because this guy did things the right way. Maybe he didn't agree with the offense, but he was a man of integrity and class and believed in teaching kids about life as well as about the game of football. And when you lose a guy like him, when you shove him to the door, your program is diminished. Now, they could come in with a new hire who's going to throw the ball 50 times and get those stats that everybody craves. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be hard to replace a guy who is a legend on those sidelines with that towel at Easton High School, and who not only won games, but he won them the right way. Steve, you deserve better.
Amen to that. And just my take, whoever takes over the job, heaven help him if they lose two games in September, because boy, did he get flack even when he had great years. When he go 8-2, people were still all over him. All right, we also have the small school poll coming up on the other side of this break. We'll be back with more in a moment. Abel with the couch. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. This segment, we're just going to talk about furniture and
sometimes the best Barco stuff lounges. Is off when we're off the air, you know that.
That would make for another interesting show, too. Maybe we can put it online or something like that. Can we do something like that? You have all the pull around here.
Certainly watch for that. Zaya doesn't have any clue.
Zaya's too busy throwing things on the floor. If you hear anything fall in the background noise, it belongs to Mr. Zaya the same. Our in-studio guest, Tume Anderson, does a great job for LVBasketballRankings.com. Make sure you check out that website and bookmark it and revisit it often, because he has tons of stuff. Great programs you have throughout the year. Darren Hilliard comes in and speaks from time to time. It's great to see him. Small school poll. We forgot to do that, so let's get to the small school poll. Like the big schools, it's kind of been boring this year. Becca's been our number one choice from the preseason on, our unanimous number one team as we head into the second last week of the regular season. Salisbury has moved in the number two spot. Saucon Valley and Notre Dame, it's been very close among those three. And then Moravian Academy edged out Caddy and Wilson for the number five spot. Keith mentioned Moravian Academy and Moravian Academy's playing Catasauqua tonight in a big game as far as the league playoffs. So Tume and Keith, your thoughts on our small schools.
Hey, I mean, we've talked about most of these teams so far right now, but Salisbury, like you said, Keith, I mean, they've been up and down, but they have some star power out there with
Costello.
I like how Costello,
you know, Reichenbach.
Reichenbach is on the perimeter. You know, very athletic kid. But Costello, you know, moving guys around the paint, he does a nice job. But there's a true star power there in the Colonial League there, Keith. Freshman star power. I know you love you some freshmen out there, Keith. And our viewers, you get a chance to get out to Easton and check out Notre Dame Green Pond. I really like the player Titus Wilkins out there, a 6'2 guard who can really do it all. Shoots it well, plays well, is a good teammate. Notre Dame Green Pond's a dangerous team out there in the small team pool. But I really like how Titus Wilkins is playing out there so far.
We're going to try to send a camera. Yeah. We're going to try to send a camera out there next week to try to get him.
Now you know I've started a freshman of the year, which Justin year. Paz from Becca was my first
year,
one.
Right.
Would he be your pick for freshman of the year?
Well, the LVBR does put out the 2020
pool. You got to go to the website.
The 2020 pool, but we have, but you know, but I'm just messing with you, Keith. But
just to
you know,
recognition.
As of right now, we do. We're gonna have.
Is he number one? Is he your number one?
Yeah, he's gonna be the number one player right now in the 2020 class.
Who's your number two in 2020?
But you know, there are some other good players. I really like a freshman Bethlehem Catholic, Julian Thomas. Doing a solid year. Easton has a freshman guard, Ryan. I can't think of his last name right now. I apologize to you, Ryan. He's doing a very solid job out there as well. So those are probably the top freshmen.
Like Jalen
right now.
Green from Caddy. You've seen.
Oh yeah, Jalen Green is from Caddy. He's also a solid player as well. So I want to give him some recognition. Jalen Perkins from your alma mater, Keith, Dare Up High School. And ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
Keith, have you ever seen Hunter Huff out there? Any
yes.
Chris Dare Up has
five
a freshman.
Foot.
5-foot guard out there at
Darrow. And he can shoot the lights out.
Keith, get early to a JV game and watch this kid. Oh, okay. Just shoot. He can shoot that ball.
He played
ball
a couple of varsity games.
And he plays varsity games. Yeah, the game I was at against Easton, Easton was up 6 points with 2.5 minutes left. Jarjuice puts him in the game. This kid drills back-to-back three-pointers, and Darrow ended up going back to winning that game. So
yeah, just another tough year for the Huskies, but I think the future's bright. Now, Chico White, who how many more years of eligibility?
Chico is a sophomore.
You got two more years.
Yeah.
They might be better. I mean, I'm tired of the – I mean, and look, I'm not saying that I haven't said the Joe Jarjuice, but it's just been a struggle. The 5-6 win plateau.
Yeah.
They have not broken through with that marquee. They occasionally do break through with a marquee win.
Right.
But it's just been a struggle at Darrow. And for an old Husky like myself, it's been tough to
take. I think they're close. So they can keep everyone together and
progress. Well, this Perkins guy, I hear a lot of great things about
him. He's a solid man. He's a strong kid inside. He's also a football player as well. But, you know, Darrow, this was going to be a great year for – they had a little problem. C.J. Richardson and Hernandez both got injured. Those are two players. A school like that can't really afford, you know, injuries like that. So I really look forward to Jarjuice and the Darrow Huskies to have a great year next year.
Well, he does a lot. We talk about Steve Shifford and doing the right things. And Steve did the right things while winning games. Joe has got the doing the right things
foundation.
Part down out. They can get some
foundation.
Wins. But he wants to do – right with those kids and teach them right from wrong and kind of steer them on the right path in life, which in Allentown, that's the most important thing.
And he has a billboard.
his own billboard.
Great billboard,
coming
man.
Across the Hamilton Street
Bridge. Welcome
you
to the east side, for sure.
Husky Nation.
Husky Nation.
All right, time for the roundtable part of our show. The roundtable is a mix of local, regional, national sports topics that we throw at our panelists. They don't know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio, but as always, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions. And, of course, if you're watching us on demand or on themorningcall.com or listening to us on the podcast, feel free to send us an email with your thoughts. We might mention it on a future show. Topic number one, there's a little thing called the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. What's one thing you're going to be watching for in Sunday's Super Bowl? Tume, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I always think about, you know, if I think of Super Bowls, I think of the entertainment. You know, I think of, you know, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, you know, halftime shows and so forth. So this
year, where are you going to go with it?
We got Lady Gaga going out there this year, you know, and I'm entertained by that, Lady Gaga coming out there. But besides entertainment, on the football field, I look forward to Julio Jones, you know, being Julio Jones and doing big things out there. And, you know, Atlanta's been playing well, Keith. Atlanta's been playing well, you know. So I'm looking for Julio Jones, the key factor out there.
Did you pick Atlanta to win?
No, I'm picking Tom Brady, of course. Always picking Tom
Brady. Well, that's what I'm looking forward to. I think everybody wants to see the presentation of the trophy at the end of the day, the Super Bowl trophy, the MVP trophy, Roger Goodell giving it to Tom Brady. You know that they're not
That'll
exactly
be interesting.
Drinking buddies these days. So I'm looking forward to that post-game ceremony when he takes the trophy.
How about the way he was accosted by the Boston media? They ambushed Goodell and was asking him all these questions and saying, you know, why are you being unfair to them? And he just kind of ducked the media. They just got out of that. You in favor of that as a pride and trusted journalist?
The journalism profession's not, not, you know, really one of our golden trademarks right now. We've taken a beating and sometimes deservedly so.
But I wish Aerosmith was at the halftime show. That way I could figure out if it's Living on a Prayer or Living on the Edge.
You got it mixed up. I'm telling you, go back. I know he's blaming me. I said Living on a Prayer is Bon Jovi.
Living on a
Prayer.
Yeah, here we go.
If it's not Barry Manilow or Elvis, I don't know. So I don't know. Topic number two, besides Allen, take them out of the equation. Who is the best boys basketball team in the Lehigh Valley right now? Keith, who's the best team right now? You had to pick one. Parkland. Oh, okay. Are you going home tonight in Emmaus? Did you? I got to set up barricades. I get ripped by Emmaus people. We had him on the show last year. The very next week, so you never do anything about Emmaus. So just be keep an eye on your way home tonight. Two Emmaus.
So Keith, Emmaus guy picking Parkland. Parkland guy is going to take Emmaus.
Oh, now I see what you're playing.
Guard play, Chris, man. Guard play is superior over that. With Dave Cackery, so we've talked this whole time. We haven't even mentioned Dave Cackery's name
the
whole time.
And that's what I want to look at. It's a shame. We have three guys, and if you want to include Vaughns or whoever from Pocono West, you can make it four. And I put this out there. We have three guys who are in another year they'd be automatic Player of the Year choices: Sam Iorio, David Cackery, and Tyrese Martin. It's a shame that they're, I mean, it's nice for us, but it's a shame that they're actually competing against each other for Player of the Year honors, because I think all three of them deserve to go down as Players of the Year, but two of them won't be this year. Your thoughts on that? It's going to be who wins.
It's an amazing year. An amazing year for talent.
Tyrese Martin is. I mean, everybody goes nuts on the dunks, and he's spectacular with the dunks. But Tyrese, I'm talking about Tyrique Williams. But Tyrese Martin is a complete package, and wherever he goes, and I know he's getting some interest from people like big time names like Auburn and so forth, and Ohio State, and my goodness, they're going to get a great player.
Yeah, he's playing extremely well. All-around floor game is superb. And you know what, Keith, I like about Tyrese? That's why I like going down to the floor, like where you're around the court. Mm-hmm. You get to see all the action, see how these guys interact. I love how Tyrese is always directing traffic, talking to his teammates. Very solid leader out there. And
That's a big factor.
It's
you're
a huge factor. But, you know, going back to Talik, his energy, though, man, his energy does
he's the most exciting player we've seen in a long time.
He gives the whole team, the whole city, just a whole uplifting out there. He's doing a phenomenal job out there. And, that whole squad.
He sells the tickets, but Tyrese Martin ultimately wins the game.
He's solid. He's solid. Very solid.
All right. Quick reminder, we still have that trivia question out there. Eight boys basketball teams have won multiple division District 11 4A titles since 1985, but only four have won it just once. We still need correct answers. We have some email guesses coming in. None of them correct so far, but we need the four teams that have only won one District 11 4A boys basketball title since 1985 through this year. Our final segment, starring Keith Groller and Toomey Anderson, coming up right after this break. Quick reminder, we have that trivia question out there. If you're watching us on replay, on demand, on themorningcall.com, or listening to our podcast, you can have a shot at guessing at our trivia game. One more time, only four boys basketball teams in the District 11 region have won 4A titles one time each since 1985. Well, you can email the correct answer to us, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. With all four of those answers, please include your name and mailing address so we can mail out the prize. If you get the correct answer, if we have multiple correct answers, we'll have a drawing on our next week's show, and you can find out if you're the winner next week. All right, final segment with Toomey Anderson and Keith Groller, continuing with our roundtable topics. Topic number three, where does Tom Brady rank all time among quarterbacks? Keith has already handed the Super Bowl championship to the Patriots this Sunday, so he's going to be 5-2. But where does Tom Brady rank all time among quarterbacks?
Number one. You know, and I'm from the 90s era, you know, my 80s and 90s with Montana and Marino and those guys. But Brady, you know, you mix it all together, winning pedigree, his accuracy, just longevity, playing a high level. Number one, Keith. Number one.
Keith, would you put him right behind Jim Everett, Kurt Warner,
Dieter Brock,
Ryan, Roman Gabriel, and Mark Bolger?
St. Louis,
after those
Jim
four Everett. Guys?
No, he's number one. I mean, look at it. And I say that as a Ram fan who was still bitter about that Super Bowl, okay? But the guy, what I like about the guy is he's a tremendous competitor. I mean, he puts his heart and soul into every game. I really believe that. And you talk about a leader. And you can't argue with all the – Montana was, I guess, was perfect in the Super Bowl. But he had Jerry Rice and Taylor and some great people around him.
Hey, Gronkowski's out.
This guy's getting it done with Julian Edmund and company. I mean, really. I mean, I think one year he had one good receiver. But, I mean, basically he's doing with a hodgepodge. Tom Brady, all-time best.
All right, topic number four, one team and one player to watch over the next week. A lot of important games coming up over the next 7 or 8 days before the league playoffs start. One team – and one player. Doesn't have to be with the same school. Keith, who are you looking out for?
I want to see if Allen can get it done. I mean, I think it's quite an accomplishment no matter what happens. If they can go 22-0, go through the EPC, which we thought was as good as it's ever been this year. They have Becca. They have Parkland next week. Monday, I think Parkland's first on Monday. Becca's on Wednesday. If they can win those games, they are just done a phenomenal job. The one player, my goodness.
Man.
I mean, there's so many to pick from. I mean, I guess you got to go with Talik Williams, and because he's the guy that everybody wants. I mean, he's just incredible.
You can never go wrong with checking one and see Mr. Williams out there, Keith. So, piggyback off of that, you did mention that one. You mentioned about Friday, next Wednesday, Becca and Allen. You know, Tyrese Martin's obviously been playing very well. Coach Martelli will be in the house to go check out Tyrese on that day. But my team to checking out for, to be keeping an eye on for, Keith, Let's go to the 5A bracket. The team you saw last night. No. Those Vikings, Keith. All right. I'm looking at the district standings. I'm checking where they stand at right now. I'm about to play Pottsville the first round, winnable game. And then, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Keep it. Let's just keep an eye on
one more win just to qualify. They'll probably get it against Nazareth, but they need one more win just to qualify.
I'm going to say the Vikings sneak into the playoffs there and our team to be reckoned with. Player to watch. Let's go up north, Keith. Let's go check out Mr. Jalen Vaughns.
I like him.
Jalen Vaughns is a 6'5", athletic forward who's definitely moving up the ranks. Several D1 schools have been coming in. St. Francis, PA, hot on his heels.
And I'll throw something out there very quickly that I probably shouldn't, but this could be Brad Pencil's last year as the coach of the Pocono Mountain West Panthers. Mm. He's got a new administrative job. Right. He won't say for sure that he's going, but there's a lot of indications that this could be his last year. If so, I think the Panthers will know it, and they're going to play extremely hard to give him one more championship.
Right. It's very tough to see coaches, no matter how much success they have, to go to that administrative level, mm-hmm. the upper echelon, mm-hmm. and then still coach. It's very mm-hmm. rare. So I think that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. Topic number 5, a sleeper team to watch come playoff time. Sleeper
Ooh.
Team.
Ooh, I guess I almost kind of gave that away.
You did it. You gave it. You gave it.
That was maybe the sleeper pick, all right? But we're going to keep on the sleeper look, all right? Keith, I like what's going on up there. All right, out there in Notre Dame Green Pond. All right, we're sticking to going to the smaller schools. All right, keep an eye on Notre Dame Green Pond out there in the 3A bracket to make a run. You talked about Valley Forge. They have some 6'8", 6'9" monsters out there. All right, but Valley Forge, you know, we'll see what Notre Dame Green Pond can do. I'm gonna pick Notre Dame Green Pond.
I'm going to go back to the Whitehall Zephyrs. I think they still play well as a team. They got to get up tempo. They have to get in transition. But they're the most balanced team in the area. They trot out 4 or 5 guys.
They're not a sleeper.
Well, what qualifies as a sleeper?
They're the second best team in the district. All right. Our thanks to Tumay Anderson and Keith Groller. Don't forget,
enjoy the games, everybody.
We'll be back next week with more high school basketball as we break down and get closer to the league playoffs. So join us next Thursday live at 7 p.m. or through our various other outlets. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.